Hey everybody, I'm Christy Titus. It's good to be on the show.
This is Remy Warren.
This is John Stallone.
This is Joel Turner.
This is Lonnie Craighead.
And you are listening to Archery Maniacs.
7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
A brief word from our sponsors. Do you want to turn that trophy hunting photo into a vinyl decal? Head on over to www.mytrophyvinyl.com and turn your memory into a vinyl decal that lasts. TAP, short for Titanium Archery Products. The hunting stabilizer that holds like a target stabilizer and dampens and quiets your bow like none other. The suppressor from Titanium Archery Products sets the standard for high-end performance hunting stabilizers. Check out www.titaniumarcheryproducts.com to get your suppressor today and follow them on Facebook and Instagram. Do you need your bow tuned up? Or anything archery related, check out Sand Springs Archery of Craig, Colorado, 970-756-9315.
Hey, it's time for your free gift.
That's right, he said free. Are you about to head on the hunt of a lifetime, but have no idea what to have in your pack? Well, the 58-point gear list and the 4 to 12-day extended hunt nutrition list is exactly what you're looking for. It will show you what hardcore hunters have in their pack to help them be successful as possible. Head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com and grab your free list today so that you can have success on your next hunt.
Now,
let's get into the show.
Here we are in episode 9 with Alice Buswell. Alice started shooting at the age of 7, and her success, passion, and love for archery has exploded from there. She is currently an Olympic archer going into the senior division for next year and is in the running for shooting on the 2020 Olympic recurve team. Alice has had many top place finishes, including gold Olympian indoor 2014, first in the Gator Cup in 2014, first in Outdoor Nationals in 2015, second in the USCA 3D Nationals 2015, USCA Indoor Nationals First Place 2016, USCA Outdoor Nationals First Place 2016, USCA All-American 2016, and many more. Her love and passion for archery are undeniable, and it can truly be felt throughout the podcast. In this episode, Alice and I cover Journey to the Olympics, sponsors, national and international shooting. Stay tuned, and I hope you enjoy the show.
I'm Alice Buswell, an Olympic archer going into the senior division for next year.
Awesome, and I'm your host, Zach Harold.
And you're listening to Archery Maniacs.
Sweet. So, well, first off, obviously, thanks so much, Alice, for hopping on the show with me. Just kind of for context, Alice, how old are you?
I'm 19 years old.
19 years old and shooting in the Olympics. Like, that's pretty cool.
Well, not technically the Olympics yet. As you know, Rio just happened or is still going on. But the four Olympians who went into the Olympics this year is Zach Garrett, Brady Ellison, and Jake Kaminsky. As for the woman, it is Mackenzie Brown. And I'm an Olympic hopeful for the 2020 and then 2024.
Gotcha. Cool. And you just came back from Argentina. So why don't you, I know you were shooting there, so why don't you tell us just a little bit about that trip and how things went and everything like that.
All right. So I was down in Argentina for an international shoot. My coach, he put together a little trip so that all of his archers and anyone who wanted to come could experience an international tournament, as they are very different from national shoots. Basically, there was a lot of South American countries there. Argentina, of course, Brazil, Colombia. I know there was actually a team from Bulgaria, a European country that was there. So basically, there was about, I would say, 20 countries that were represented at this tournament. There are usually about 2 days of practice. One's unofficial and the other one is official. During official practice, you have to wear your uniform that you're going to wear for the rest of the tournament. And that took place, I think, on Sunday. I can't remember exactly. But then we have qualifications, which is the first day of the tournament. Qualifications is a round of 72 arrows that we shoot usually all at once. We'll shoot 36 arrows in the morning and then take about a 10-15 minute break and then shoot the next 36 arrows to get the 72 done.
I got you. And what's the distance for that?
The Olympic recurves shoot 70 meters. So basically, to help people visualize that, it's like standing at the 30-yard mark on a football field and shooting at the opposite end zone.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a long ways.
Yep. And then the compound divisions shoot 50 meters.
Interesting.
Yep.
Now, with your recurve setup, are you shooting a sight on your recurve with magnification or no sight at all, or how does that work? Okay.
I shoot with a sight on my bow, but the recurve division is not allowed to have any sort of magnification on the sight.
Okay. Interesting. And so, you had mentioned that like the international tournaments are a lot different than national tournaments. Is it just because there's a broader range of competition, or is there something else that makes it so different?
The main thing that makes national tournaments and international tournaments different is obviously the travel time. Having to jump on a plane and having to get adjusted to any sort of time zone, having to adjust to the food that's there, having to make sure that all your equipment is correct, and just, it's a different type of stress. At the same time, it's just a lot of fun.
Awesome. Well, cool. Well, thanks for kind of sharing your trip there. I remember talking with you a little bit before you left, and I know you were very excited to go. So
yes, I was. And it did very well.
Awesome. So when you say you do very well, obviously if you don't mind sharing. So you said you shoot 70 arrows, right?
72. Yeah, 72.
Okay, so what's like the best possible score you could get? What's each arrow possible worth?
The highest value one arrow can get is a 10. So you can, the maximum amount of points that you can get is 720 points.
Wow. Wow. And so what's the lowest that it, I mean, obviously you could miss the complete target, right? And get a zero. But so is it like 10, 8, 6, 4?
It goes from 10 all the way to 1. So it's 10, 9 okay. are the yellow, 8 and 7 is the red, 6 and 5 is the blue, 4 and 3 is the black, and 2 and 1 is white.
Wow. Wow. So when you say you did very well, what kind of score are you talking about? I mean, obviously you don't have to share your exact score if you don't want to, but what is considered very well, you know, like a 700 or a 680 or, you know what I mean?
Well, at the Rio Olympics, the world record was broken, at a 700. So for me personally, wow. a good score is for a good tournament score is like a 620 is usually what I would have expected. At this tournament, I shot a 611, I think. A 611. And for practice, I normally shoot in the 650s.
Wow. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, that does sound really well, especially like that's crazy thinking of an Olympic shooter shooting that well and then hearing, I mean, in all honesty, you're only several arrows behind them. Like that's, to me, that sounds amazing. Like that's awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for kind of, because obviously I have never shot Olympic style recurve and anything like that. So I don't know any of the rules. I don't know the scoring system. So thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it. How about we kind of talk a little bit about you getting started in archery? Cause you know, I mean, maybe right when you're born, your parents gave you a bow and you were awesome already. I don't know, but
not quite.
But yeah, so why don't you kind of walk us just a little bit through you getting started in into archery?
Okay. I was 7 years old and my dad was looking through a little rec department pamphlet to see what camps they were doing and everything. And he saw an archery camp. He was like, hey, do you want to give this a try? I used to do this when I was younger. And I was like, hey, you know what? Why not? And he showed me his old equipment that he still had. And I was looking at it. I was like, this is so cool. And I really want to try it. So they signed me up. And I did very well. I learned it very quickly. And basically, the first arrow I shot, I fell in love with the sport. And I could
awesome.
Not get rid of it.
Isn't that a cool feeling though?
Definitely.
And I would assume, I mean, and obviously you can disagree because that's what this podcast is about, but it's so much easier in my opinion and to practice and want to get better at something when you love it that much, right?
For sure. You always want to make sure that you have fun in whatever sport you are doing. Because once you lose that fun and that love for it, it's just, you're not going to enjoy it.
Yeah, it becomes work and you start doing really crappy. for better lack of words and not cussing like I normally do. well, cool. So as you kind of progress, did you just kind of, you know, start shooting, I don't know, one example I can think of was like 4-H archery. Did you just start shooting like little tournaments like that and then slowly start to progress and then find a local team? Or, you know, what was kind of your road to getting in the situation that you are now to where you're potentially going to be an Olympic shooter in the next Olympics?
Basically the camp that I was shooting at, is part of what we call a JOAD club. And so I went to their club and everything, and they hosted small local tournaments. And then from there, I went to other ranges tournaments and everything like that. And at one point, there was a point where I was outgrowing the coaches that were there. So mm-hmm. I had to find some new coaches. And the coach that I went to in 2011 was Teresa Johnson. And she's Butch Johnson's wife, and Butch Johnson is a 5-time Olympian himself. So
wow.
I got some coaching from her, and she taught me the basis of the NTS, which is the national training system that the U.S. uses for recurve shooters. From there, she helped me get into the national circuit, which is basically a series of 5 or 6 national tournaments all across the country.
Cool.
I ended up placing in the top 5, which is what we call the USAT team.
Okay.
From
and when yeah. you when you say top 5, sorry to cut you off. When you say top 5, is that like a cumulative from all 5 events?
Yes and no. So okay. let's say I shoot like 5th place at like out indoor nationals, and then
mm-hmm.
at Gator Cup I shot 3rd, but then at in outdoor nationals I got 1st place. They will take the average of your top 3, and if that average is still within the top 5, that's what it is. So it's kind of like a cumulative, but it's not. It's just the average of your 3 highest.
I got you. Cool. Cool. Yeah, that makes more sense. Okay, so you can continue. I kind of cut you off. That was my bad.
That's okay. But after making the USAT team, I went out to the Olympic Training Center in Chula Vista, California. And I was there for about 3 months during my junior year in high school. And I learned a lot from the national head coach, Kisik Lee, about the form, about how to shoot properly and everything like that. And then while I was there, they were doing a junior dream team selection camp. So I did that camp as well, got selected for the team, and met my current coach, who is Livaldi Fox. Folks, and we just talked, and I figured out that I needed to get back into my high school, finish my degree and stuff like that, because I know that if I didn't do that, I wouldn't have done that. So now I am currently working with D. Folks, and he's brought me to multiple USAT events. I did some international trips with him. He's just a great overall coach.
That's amazing. That's quite the trip for a junior in high school to be. Because for people that don't know, where do you what state do you call home?
My home state is Massachusetts.
Yeah, so when somebody's like, hey, come on over to California and let's shoot bows, like, that'd be pretty cool.
Yep.
Awesome. So, obviously, you don't just shoot once or twice a week. What kind of practice regimen, what kind of practice regimen do you have? I mean, how often are you shooting and everything like that?
On my on season, and what I mean by that is during the spring and summer time, I'll try and shoot, 5 to 6 days a week, and we'll try and get in 200 arrows a day. It sounds like a lot. And I don't do that every single week. Some weeks are lighter, some weeks are heavier, but on average, we'll try and get 200 in as a good basis. But obviously, like, there's, like, life gets in the way of that. Like, if I have schoolwork, I have to do my schoolwork. If something's happening with my family or my friends, I have to take care of that as well. So it's just having to juggle everything at the same time.
Yeah, for sure. 200 arrows a day. Wow. Do you, and this is, I don't even know, it's kind of relative, I guess. Do you have, say, 40 arrows when you shoot 200 arrows a day? Or do you shoot, you know, five, go pull your arrows, come back, shoot five again?
It depends. I have 30 arrows in my quiver. Sometimes I'll shoot six. Sometimes I'll shoot all 30. It just depends on what I want to get out of it. And it's, say, if I'm scoring, I have to shoot only six. But if I'm trying to work on a form change or just try and get an arrow count in as fast as possible, I'll shoot more arrows.
Gotcha. Yeah, shoot more arrows, less time going and pulling them. Yes. Makes sense. Cool. Well, that's quite the journey, and pretty cool being contacted by coaches like that, I would imagine. What was it like when they called you up and they wanted you to go to California? Were you like, yeah?
I was super excited. It was a little strange to have to juggle everything with school, like going to the school and talking to them about it and being explaining what was going on. But I know I was super excited about going out there, and it was a little weird because I didn't really know people out there, and I was leaving all my friends. And keep in mind, I was only 16 years old.
Yeah.
So at that time, it's like, well, my friends are there, but I really want to go to the training center and live there for a few months to see if I could actually get a slot there. And it was just definitely like an emotional time for me, but one that I will never forget.
And probably as hard as the decision to, you know, go and be out there on your own and be vulnerable, like, I probably definitely one that you definitely don't regret, I would assume, huh? Yeah, that's so cool. Last time we talked, you had talked a little bit about you're sponsored and everything like that. You said some of your arrows and things like that. Did you find that people wanting to sponsor you basically followed as you started to get results, or did it come before you were getting results? What did you find?
So my first type of sponsorship that I had was when I made the USAT team. When you make the top five, you can get a free dozen arrows. You can get 10% off Lancaster. You can get a free whitetail bale. You can get 50% off a sight. You can get some other stuff like that. But to get a sponsorship outside of that, I had results first, and they didn't really come to me. I had to basically go to them and be like, hey, let's say I'm shooting your bow. What can you do for me with these are my results? Like, can we negotiate something or something like that? I know my most recent sponsorship, I had a friend who was sponsored by them, and she was like, hey, give it a shot. Like, just send them a message and be like, hey, I'd like to be sponsored by you. Is there anything that I need to do for you? And he just asked me for my archery resume. So I sent him a list of accomplishments I've done since 2013 to now.
Awesome. That's cool. That's great information for people listening to kind of help them realize that to have some sort of archery resume, whether it's on the hunting side or the competition side. Because I know from when I have talked with people about ProTat staff and sponsorship and all that stuff, it's the same way on the hunting side. They want to know what kind of animals you've been harvesting, how many states you hunt a year, and everything like that. So that's awesome. Okay, so kind of covered the sponsors, which is sweet. When you're going to lots of tournaments, what would you say is the hardest part? Probably the traveling, or what's the hardest part in your opinion?
The hardest part about tournaments it's the time of the actual tournament. A tournament usually starts at about 8 a.m. for official practice. The tournament officially starts at 9 a.m. And sometimes you won't get off the field until like 2 o'clock, depending on equipment failures, how long the breaks are, if there's any equipment, like technical malfunctions, storms, weather. If that happens, you can be outside for 8 hours and you just have to endure whatever conditions are thrown at you. And that can make you really mentally fatigued. And I think that is probably the hardest part that archers and even spectators have to deal with. But it's well worth just the fatigue of it.
I gotcha. Yeah, I could see, especially if it's like 100 and some odd degrees and you're out there all day, I could see where that would really, really wear on you, yeah. Basically. So there you are, you're at your tournament, and obviously it's not like shooting in your backyard, right?
Definitely.
There's quite a lot of stress. What is there any type of exercises that you do or anything like that? I mean, what kind of things you do to handle the stress of being in a big national tournament and international tournament like you have been?
Music, having your iPod or your phone and just listening to your favorite music is definitely something that helps focus you. Some people like to be very social and talk to their friends or be with the people that they care about, because that's a little distraction. Because if you get too focused on the score that you're shooting or something like that, then that's when you start to get really stressed out, because in the higher levels, you're only going to be like 1 or 2 points behind whoever's in front of you or whoever's behind you. And having to maintain that is very stressful. So if you just try and block everything out, so listening to music, reading a book, talking to friends, playing a game, doing something completely different than what you're focusing on, but still being focused is kind of different. So the second you get on the line is when you turn your switch and be like, okay, I need to focus on shooting. But the second you hit off the line, you can just relax.
Gotcha. Because I would assume you can't have music playing and stuff while you're on the line, right?
Yes, that is not allowed.
Yeah, I did. I wouldn't assume so. Probably kind of frowned on.
Yes.
Thank you so much for being on the show. I know that I learned a ton of stuff, so I know that everyone else that listens in is going to learn a ton of stuff as well. So thank you so much, Alice. I really appreciate it.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, anytime. Maybe we'll have to have you back on.
Sounds good.
Thank you for tuning in to the Archery Maniacs show. If you enjoyed the show, feel free to hit that subscribe button and leave us a review. I would really appreciate it. Hopefully, you learned something that will help you be better tomorrow than you were today. Some other podcasts that you should definitely tune into are Get Bit Outdoors, Sharp Sticks, Gritty Bowman, Knock On Podcast, J. Scott Outdoors, Full Draw, Full Time, Wired to Hunt, Meat Eater, The Hunt Backcountry Podcast, Keep Hammering, and The Joe Rogan Experience. Now it's time for a word from our sponsors. My Trophy Vinyl. Do you have a trophy hunting photo you want to turn into an awesome vinyl decal? Need your logo transformed? Vehicle lettering.
My Trophy Vinyl has you covered, and for an extremely great price. Head on over to www.mytrophyvinyl.com or call Steve at 207-808-0409. That number again is 207-808-0409 to order today. Bring your memories to life with a decal that lasts. That number again is 207-808-0409. Titanium Archery Products, a scientific mix of titanium and other high-end metals, coupled with chemically engineered vibration dampening and shock absorbing compound, makes the suppressor from Titanium Archery Products stand out as one of the steadiest, quietest, and most accurate hunting stabilizers on the market. Archers from around the globe continue to be amazed by the results they're seeing and feeling in their bows. If you demand the highest performance from your hunting bow, then check out www.titaniumarcheryproducts.com. We are high performance. Sand Springs Archery of Craig, Colorado is your one-stop shop for everything archery. Get your bow tuned up, order some new gear, Alan will have you covered. 970-756-9315. That number again is 970-756-9315. Check out Sand Springs Archery for all of your archery needs.
Hey, free gold! Don't forget about your free gift!
He's not kidding around. You better grab your free gift before you go. The 58-point gear list and 4 to 12-day extended hunt nutrition list is there to help you be more successful in the backcountry. Or you can go ahead and pick the 7 tips for getting your kids involved in the outdoors and finding the same love for the passions that you have. Head on over to www.archerymaniacs.com and grab your free gift today. Once again, thanks so much for your time. Be looking for a new episode next week, because every Monday, we, Archery Maniacs, are going to be coming out with a brand new podcast. As always, shoot straight, keep ripping, and remember, live life at full draw.